Glory to God. This is still a free country. It's still the only country like it in all the world. Let's keep it that way. Hallelujah. No matter where you are, no matter what your circumstances is, no matter what your thinking or your intelligence of thinking might be, God wants you to go beyond that. God wants to take you into the realm where He is. He always has the answer. He has your answer. And it isn't in heaven. Listen, come on. I'm giving you a little scripture now. It's not on the earth. Come on. It abides in you. Hallelujah. This Creator of all things abides in you. And out of you He has chosen to show forth Himself. Out of you. And so when He comes in other people, just like you, or maybe that isn't like you, and He gives you, them the answer to give you, will you receive it? Are we so pointed in our intelligence that we have to be told what to think, how to think, where to go, who to love, who not to love? Have we come to the point where we're so lazy we don't think that we're God's kids? That somebody has to tell us with some kind of authority that we respect what to do and say? Come on! Or that the world in which we live is going to dictate to you what God is doing? When you stop being scared of being wrong and start learning how to be right by an unction of a Spirit that now gives you an intelligence that you never had. Hallelujah. In the situations, wherever they may be that you're in, that He is capable of communicating with you personally on a personal level, a righteous standard of whatever kind of behavior that's necessary to change your circumstances. And many is just in a manner that you have been, your opinions and your ideas and your intelligence have been formed by ungodly, unregenerated, fearful, excuse giver men and women, not the answer givers. Not making an excuse for any kind of behavior. It's time we become sons of God. Amen. It's time we begin to pick up the mantle that God has intended for humanity from the very time He created them. He has not created us to set in the guy into the background. He's not created us not to be thinkers. He's not created us not to overcome. Hallelujah. But He now sent His Son that we might overcome all things. In the flesh, right now, where you live, in your circumstances, right now. And the thing is, will you hear Him when He speaks because of a person or a statement or where it comes from? Not being able to discern that which is right and righteous and that which isn't. And the more you get into the Word, the more you read the Word, and especially stuff you don't understand, and the more you start digging in, and the more you start applying for understanding, the greater your understanding will become. And the more efficient and the less fear that you have, the less fear you walk with. You know why people walk with fear? Because they refuse to get the answer. They do. Because you don't walk in fear if you have an answer. You have no fear within you if you have the answer. But let me tell you, the answer will cost you everything to get it. Because if you don't have it, you don't have it. You see, it's not trying to rise one person up or set one person down. My desire is that you walk in the freedom of this Holy Spirit that lives within you. That all things have been given to you already, and it's just a matter of you reaching for it until you get it. Work on those things that are uncomfortable in your life. Instead of living with them with an excuse. This is the answer. It's not way out there. The revelation. You are the revelation. My God, you got to hear this. Hallelujah. He came as a man so that man might be redeemed. What kind of a man? The spirit man? No, a spirit man, a flesh man, and a soul man. All of you, every part of you, every living part of you, glory to God, has been redeemed through His blood. Glory to God. That's why He shed blood.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's why He gave up His spirit. Come on. Hallelujah. He says, Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? Now you think he was talking about his flesh? He was still alive when he said that. I won't even tell you some of the logical explanations to that statement. As though in a man, he couldn't comprehend the sin that had gotten in to man. Jesus, don't be afraid. My God, I'm not saying this to try and puff up anything. I'm saying this so that you might take on this God nature, that you may take on this God man inside of you, right inside of your person. Hallelujah. That he can relate to every situation that's confronting you, that you can go to him in confidence. Hallelujah. Knowing that he has the answer. Glory to God. But our problem has been, we don't know how to hear him in the areas in which may be unfamiliar to us. Amen. In that you think it has to fit your personage of sorts. Instead of the truth being the element of substance, not personality. Now listen to this. Not even doctrines of men. Not even intelligences that aren't in Him. I'm telling you. I'm hearing it. This year, you can know for sure that you are a son of righteousness. And you can begin to walk as a son without fear, knowing that you will be confronted with things that you're going to have to go to the Father for, that you don't have answers for, that you're going to have to reach in to Him, and you're going to have to reach into His Word, and you're going to have to reach into your emotion, and you're going to have to reach into your intelligence, and you're going to have to sift some things out that have been stoppers, and you're going to have to take out the weaker elements, hallelujah, that may have just been fillers there for a time, glory to God, and fill it with a righteousness, oh God, that will take and bring you the peace and the joy and the happiness that you deserve in Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh, it's not the accomplishments that you receive here on earth. I thank God for how we live so comfortably, but that's not what I look at when I see you. I look at the giftings of God that's so vested within you, and then the working of the ministry because of your giftings that help, that bring a resolve, that bring a breakthrough. And sometimes it's not just in church, beloved. It's in your element of where you are and the people you touch. Where you go to shopping and where you play. Hallelujah. The people you touch every day. That you never have to be disappointed in this position of being a son. Honey, can you bring up the PowerPoint? Oh, let's pray for that real quick. Hallelujah. Mighty God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a time to be excited. It's a time to be praying like you've never prayed before for Israel as a nation. God is not going to restore the old covenant. It's been fulfilled. It will never be restored. A greater has come. You see, when you read the Bible and you go into the book of Romans, Jesus takes His place of authority as far as humanity is concerned. Even though we know He's the creator of all things, in humanity He said you had Adam, you had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you had Moses, but now I've come. Jesus has come. He's not coming again because He failed the first time. Amen. Or because we failed to believe that all things aren't us or that His blood isn't sufficient. You see, when we're working with other Christians, stop looking at them, whether they're Catholics or Protestants or Baptists or Presbyterians or you see, I know a lot of their doctrines because I've been with them. I love them all. One thing we have in common, if they've asked Jesus in their heart, they're not yours anymore. They're not a denomination's anymore. They're His. We don't deserve what we got. Because we did something to get it? We can only thank God that He's given it to us, and we've got some intelligence to know what to do with it. Doesn't mean it hasn't been given to others and they don't know yet, just because they're in a particular spot in their believing. Jesus still said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And everybody said, well, baptism isn't, water baptism isn't important. You aren't going to tell a Baptist that. Are you? Absolutely not. Well, you're not going to tell me that either, because it's the Word of God. But it has to be an accepted response. I'm going to be going into water baptism and I'm going to show you some things, but not this morning. But then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's just foundational, infant, very infantile, very, very, very elementary. It can't be looked over or called small or anything like that. But it is a foundation that has to be accepted before you can go any further. I don't want to bring anything in a place where one is higher than the other. But as we grow up, we learn how to act more adult, don't we? And you know, before we got married, we had a lot of fun, didn't we, honey? You lived at daddy's house. And I was pretty free. I lived home, but I had a job and had my own car. And I made my own decisions, and really nobody got in my way. Did they, honey? Whoopee. Huh? I didn't do the right things many, many times. I thought I didn't even know they were that wrong. There's a freedom in Christ that He wants. I thank God that I found through friends, just through another friend. Water baptism in Jesus' name. I never knew about that. And then they come up with Jesus only. I didn't know what Jesus only was. You know, we really isn't Jesus only. Some of the doctrines need some. They've never come into circumcision, the operation of circumcision through water baptism. That's all. There's more to this. Let me tell you something. I didn't learn this in a day or two, or just through exergy in the Word. This here is more than just exergeeing. This is experience talking to you, where there's been a living, a life experience of understanding. And I'm giving it to you. And you don't have to pay for this. But if you don't believe me, you won't receive it. Or if I say something that you may not agree with and you shut me off, you shut off your supply of knowledge. Well, Danny, what are we supposed to do? You're supposed to know the Word of God, learn how to be righteous, and not be afraid of all other words or actions of other people. Now listen to this. And you focus in on the good, and you start to minister the good in those that don't know yet. And you start lifting up the righteous inside of them. Because it is the boss. And sooner or later, as it touches their intelligence, as it touches their feelings, as it touches them, every part that begins to receive glory to God, they're beginning to take ownership. Hallelujah. And they're stepping into a new dimension of life-giving substance. And I mean it's life. It's a way you want to live. Wherever you go, you take it with you, whether you're in the car or taking a bath. Hallelujah. This is the most wonderful, wonderful God. This is the most wonderful Holy Spirit. This is the most wonderful thing that God has ever given man. And when he said he gave us all things, you can wrap it up in one word. Two words. His Holy Spirit. Will you believe it? Will you walk in it? Even when you don't understand it. I have to say yes. But that don't mean I'm not going to understand it. Doesn't mean I keep walking in that I don't understand. It means I go for it. Had my nephew come and do some work for me. Some plumbing in that. And they got a whole new code of plumbing and everything. And they've changed a lot of stuff in 15 years since I've really been out of it. So, because I know how to do something, because it's been working for 50 years, do I know how to do it? Yes. But can there be different ways and better ways of doing it? Yes. How will I apply that? How will I apprehend that? How will I get that? I'll have to apply that which is new to that which is old. Come on, this is all Scripture. That's what he wants us to do. Because he changes the properties to be more perfect than before. I use some PEX pipe. You say, what does it have to do? This is everything if you're following the subject. My nephew told me, because he does he's a contractor. He does thousands probably in a year of houses because he has crews. He started putting this PEX pipe in for plumbing because it's new and that. He's had to go into houses that all the heat failed on them and everything froze up. All the water and everything else. That stuff. Put the heat on it, not one damaged line. God wants to bring us up, beloved. He wants to take us beyond where we are. He wants to show us that His Spirit has greater authority, where you can't be damaged because you're in a cold environment. Did you get this? This is my desire for you. I have no other desire to minister. But bring sons unto glory. And you can come. And guess what? God may have showed you something that He's then showed me that makes it better and easier. My little granddaughter's helping me. I'm just getting better because she's got the patience to help me. On the computers and that. It'll get more across to you. It'll be more effective. You'll get more out of it. Stop cutting yourself short of who you are in God. And take everything that you're gifted in into Him. Another step, another measure further. And start taking those fears and releasing them. If you got a fear, you need to find out what it is and hit it head on with God in your hand. I remember my granddaughter telling me that if she's afraid, she's like a little bulldog. She runs into that fear with confidence she will overcome. Do you know what it does? The knowledge. Come on. I'm trying to get into what I got. The knowledge that you learn from the experience of God dealing with it inside of you and around you, towards you, it has no more hold on you. Amen. Ever. But you have to be courageous enough. It says, with fear and trembling, we enter in. He don't want you to stay there. He don't want you to stay in those elements. He wants to show you that everything is yours. Instead of wanting things, why not walk any place in the earth and be it safe, knowing this, that the authority of God is within your mouth. Hallelujah. And so when you speak a thing, God will do it. And He will. You know why? Because you're learning. This isn't flipping around. I want this and I want that. I want $100,000. I want this and I want. No, none of that. I'm not talking about that. Because if you're in other places in the country, you ain't looking for another place to live. You're just there enjoying where you are in a hostile environment, because Americans are not loved all around the world. And any of the servicemen will tell you that. You won't walk in the same freedom in other countries that you walk in this country. People that want to live without law, find out that people kill you. People take your heads off. People do all kinds of stuff. They don't even feel a thing about it. But with God, hallelujah, and without walking in that fear, it emanates out of you. They'll draw to you. They'll want to be touched. They'll want to be prayed for. They'll want to do the. They'll want these things because you don't have the fear in them. You aren't afraid of them. You know you're God. Hallelujah. Let's go to John, 5th chapter again. Thought I was out of here, but I'm going to be out when God says to. But hallelujah. Right now, I got a mission. I got a goal. Is that you will positively, 100%, without a doubt, believe what I'm saying. For you. If you don't believe it, you'll never have it. You'll never have anything you don't believe in. Do you know that? That's true. You won't. If you have it, you won't keep it. You won't even know you have it. Hallelujah. John, I mean, I could get out of my kid's lesson here and go to John. Hallelujah. We're in Genesis 42, 43 now. That's a good book to read. Genesis is a good book. All of the books are good. And you know what? They're not out of your reach. Like, you know, at first they are. At first you read them, you can't figure out what heads or tails is because you're trying to read them. But then if you begin to relax a little, glory to God, you'll see that. Let's go back up to 25, honey, and I want to read 25 to 29 of John. Glory to God. And hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you with me? Yeah. Are you awake? Yeah. Hallelujah. Are you going to be different? With the help of the Lord, we are. Are you going to love one another more? Look around and pray for one another. Hallelujah. Don't worry about the personalities or if you're afraid of them. Usually what people are, they're afraid of strong personalities. They usually are. Mm-hmm. Or they don't like weak personalities. They like the kind of the middle of the road kind of thing, you know. Don't bug me and I won't bug you. Don't touch me and I won't touch you. Just let me keep in my doo-doo and I'll let you keep in yours. Glory to God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is come and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and they that hear shall live. Now, this is the next one. Walter wanted me to read this one, but she missed it. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Now this, and there's an order here. There's a real order. You know, you'll never be a son without a father. And you can't be a father without a son. Or daughter or son, you know, take the gender out of it. Because we've beat that horse way too much. And hath given him the authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Look at this. We're talking to one another. I'm talking to you. You have an authority. You have an authority to execute authority. And you know, we like to have authority, to execute authority. Is without responsibility. How many have ever had to watch over more than just their self? Everybody here. Pretty much, right? Okay. What happened to you, Karen, after you got married? Are you like that? You and Gordy? Playing house?
It's fun.
What happened after your authority had to go beyond you and Gordy?
It got a little sticky.
Lord help us as a nation. No, listen to me. What did you choose to do? Because you had kids. You got to hear this. You can't just put this off someplace like it's in some other land, because it's not. Then you quit your job? Was it a good job? Yeah. Why?
Because I wanted us to put the values into our kids.
Now listen to this. Because you wanted your authority to come into a place where now it could be recognized as authority. In order that there would come, the harmony would become, structure would come. What? Of righteous behavior, of righteous indignation now, coming into where? Now you got a family. Now it goes beyond you. So I dare say, because I've seen her too many times, And I could say it to each one of you. I'm just using her for an example. Or now, it's no longer what I want or what I need. It's what my wife needs, what my kids need. See what's happening? What has happened there? Your needs have grown. Your supply has to increase. It does. In order to meet the need. Put that in a multiple of 1, 10, 100, 1,000. Will it How quick can we be exhausted? What will you have to do next? You're going to have to reach for things you don't know. You're going to have to go beyond anything you knew. And you have to do it in an area of intelligence that gives you the answer that's necessary to meet the need. Amen. You can say amen.
Amen.
Because it's true. Hallelujah. And God says, when He says He's given us all things, He wasn't lying to us. And don't worry, as you're faithful, He knows what you need in the physical. He knows what you want, and He knows how to please your wants as well. I guarantee it. But don't manage it yourself. Don't try and fulfill it within yourself. Keep reaching for Him to meet the need. So that's the executing, you see. That's the exergy, and we just did this. And hath given Him authority, that's the exergy, that's the delegated authority, to execute, you see. That's a different word. That executes a totally different word, and it is a pretty impressive word. Just let me give it to you in the Greek. It's 4160 in the Strong's. It's and you have to excuse my Greek and English language, but this is payeo. It's payeo. E-H-O, apparently a prolonged form of an absolute primary. You know what that is, don't you? I mean, that's it. To make or do. And there are many, many, many little things you can add to that. It means that when you're executing, or when you take the authority that God has given you now, and you know what? You can only administer that you know. Just like, you know, I know lots of things. I know how to plumb. I know how to build. I build all kinds of stuff, but they keep changing stuff. I'm not familiar with all the new stuff. Now, I can execute the old because I've got experience. I know how to do that. But if I don't have the proper tools and I don't know the other, I may be familiar with product, but I'm not familiar with application. So my authority is restricted to what I did know. And if we're moving in God, He is elevating us. He's adding to us. You're going to find out that you're not going to have to work near as hard to get a job done better. You know why? Because He's continually adding to your experience. He's adding to your knowledge. Now listen to this. And because of that, you can execute authority much better. Much more. Because basically, what executing authority is when you say it, it'll get done. So, in order for that to happen, you have to have everything in place to see to it that it gets done. Right? Absolutely. Now look at this. And He has given Him authority to execute judgment also because He is the Son of Man. The next one. And did He say He was the Son of God here? What do you think He said that? Who do you think He was talking to here? God? as son to the Father God? You think that's what he was talking to? Okay, who was he talking to? Talking to us. See? And he's talking to you. Right there. He's talking to me. He's not talking to somebody else. He's talking to each one of us. As we pay attention, as we give what we have, as we do those giftings, as we enhance those giftings with righteousness, hallelujah, authority will automatically be yours. Absolutely. Marvel not at this, for the hours come in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Now see, we get this crazy idea that you go to the grave, you know, you're done for. I'm going to do a little on this. Because that brings fear into people if they die, or if they're sick unto death, or whatever. That's it for them. That's not what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. And if you continue in that sin, you'll never hear God. But if you're a believer, I'm going to show you some things here. Real quick. This will really help you out. Hallelujah. Let's go to Acts 24. And 15, I want to show you something. It's pretty cool. And this will help you. Because I'm convinced that if something happened to me right now, for some odd reason or whatever, whether, you know, catastrophe or I just flipped over when I was talking and I was gone. No more life left in me, in the body, that I wouldn't be with my Lord. Now we've gotten afraid of the grave, but the grave is the resting place. You can still hear God. Things are happening there. And out loud. Because we've learned about incorruption and immortality and these things, and that's come to light. Let's not go stupid on. Let's not go stupid in thinking that if somebody died, they missed the mark. That's crazier than that's crazy. But you see, that's been the opinion of the overcomer. But the truth is, there's going to be a generation. And in that time where the generation has taken hold where they don't die anymore, and I believe in that, that you'll never see this generation again. But now incorruption and immortality has come to light to the point where in man, in human men and women, where they no longer die, where death no longer in the body has any effect on them. Do you know what that means? That there is nothing in heaven and in earth could ever stop you from doing whatever he said at any time. And nothing in the flesh, nothing in the imagination, nothing in nothing. You've overcome. Our problem is we live in an excuse if we don't know. And the problem with a lot of the church people is they don't want to know because they know they're going to be judged for the things that they've done in the body. I mean, they believe that. The truth is, it is true. And having hope towards God. Now I got to give you a little bit of background on this. Now, in Acts 24, if you take a look at it in your Bible, you'll see that Paul was coming to a point where he was going to be coming to a ruler. And I can't remember if it was Felix. You'd have to take a look. But it was a Roman ruler because he was being accused. There was an accusation that was coming against Paul by not the Romans, but by the church. that he was a heresy, he was a heretic. Now this is what was going on in the book of Acts here, the 24th chapter. We accept it always and in all places, most holy, and it is Felix, with all thanksgiving, and have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise, now that's, you know, that's an authority thing, myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. Next one, please. And this is, now after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offering. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult. I got to tell you, and I'm gonna speed this up because I got other stuff I want to say here. Do you know what Paul was? Pharisee, but do you know what else he might have been? Could it be he was a Nazarene? Need to look at it. And here Paul is coming to do his obligations. See, why did he do that? Because at that time that he was still in a place of learning. Do you think he learned all that he wrote in the epistles? He knew all that while he was a Pharisee? Absolutely not. Where did he learn it? How would you like to be a Pharisee, a Hebrew of Hebrews, one of God's peoples? How would you like that? And then get this message of Jesus being the Savior. He wasn't wrong being a Pharisee. You see, we can get, because we have a little foreknowledge, sometimes this is what I mean about let's relax. Let's not be opinionated. Okay. Let's not think we're something we're not. But let's start working together to love one another where they are. You can only be privileged if you know that. And that indwelling Holy Ghost is working within you to bring you and to step you up. Hallelujah. And then you need to be free to express yourself, whether you haven't come in another area or not. I love this man. Why? I only love him through words. I only love him through his study. I only love him through his ability to bring forth character in this new church. He was an enemy to the new church out of ignorance, beloved. It was not self-will that he did that. He didn't know any different. He believed in the same God. And we're going to deal with people that believe in the same God. Hallelujah. In your life, will you shut them off because they're different in their thinking? Because they don't know what you know, or they know more than you know? Will you cut them off? Oh, you love them. Pray and ask the Lord, how come you got me in this situation, Lord? What is my part in this? How do I play this out? He's so real inside of you. Let Him get into your, every part of your being. Stop having places you don't let Him in. You just keep doing what you do. You're not pleased and He's not pleased. Let Him in there. Let Him give you the freedom we were praising the Lord about. So that you walk with this resolve about you. Hallelujah. He's not out to knock you down. He's not out to discipline you because you're doing something you don't know you're doing wrong, or even if you're doing something wrong. It's not His desire to judge you. It's His desire to love you to the point that you don't have this to deal with anymore in your life. Jesus, help us, Lord. Who ought to have been here before thee, an object, if they had aught against me. And you'll find out that your accusers are so heady and so high-minded and so full of knowledge that they don't have the guts to come before you. They'll use their pawns to do their dirty work. Why? Because you are a God's kid. My, don't ever let that go. If I'm doing anything, am I encouraging you? I want to encourage you. Wherever you are in Christ, I want to encourage you to know that He's given us all things. I don't know what all things are yet, but I got an idea that all things are in Him, and that as we're walking towards Him, when I get in trouble, I can cry on Him and He's going to help me. Hallelujah. Get out of the trouble. Hallelujah. And be more like Him, not in a bullish way. I know how to be a bull. But I don't want to be one now. I know how to fight, but I'm refusing to. You know why? Because He does it better. Nobody gets hurt in it. Everybody gains. Everybody gets a good measure. Everybody. Even the one that may have afflicted the pain. Because even though it might not be your will or my will, it's His will that all should be saved. That none should be lost. Because believe it or not, we've all been created in His image. In His likeness. And when He created Adam, He didn't create him out to set him free to do nothing. He created him to rule and reign with Him. He just made a little mistake with the woman. He wanted to rule and reign. Can't blame him. Because she's still in the flesh. The best thing they could ever give up. No bars, no questions asked. Do we deserve it? No. But we did. I guess I can't say that anymore. We did deserve it. Do you know why? Because He's the one that's calling the shots. I'm just learning how more. If you hear me say, we're gonna or whatever, please excuse that. I haven't yet figured it out. We have. Already there. I just haven't got to my destination yet. You just haven't got to your full destination yet. But you're already there. You got all that's necessary to go from point A to point B. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now let's go real quick. Hallelujah to 1 Peter. Hallelujah in 3. And I just... 1 Peter 3 and 22. Go up to 21. Go to 20, honey, please, and we'll work down. Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the day of Noah while the ark was being prepared, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure... whereunto even baptism, both also now saves us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by, or you could say in, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, if your conscience, if you've got all this conscience, you've got all these thoughts, and some are good and some are bad, and some are good and some are bad, what's good and what's bad? Come on. What you say is good and what you say is bad? What I say is good and what I say is bad? Come on. Oh, we like some of this stuff. See? Listen to this. This is good stuff. You guys should be on your feet praising the Lord. Because you see, He's given you the conscience of what's good and bad. As you read the Word of God, as you live this Word of God, it becomes conscience to you. It becomes a conscious effort to you. You're actually making the right decision to do the right thing. You're walking in the consciousness of God in your life. It goes beyond you. And every time something in you wants to do the wrong thing or the bad thing, maybe something that might entice you a little, there's a conscience there. Now, you always do the good thing? Probably not. What happens when you don't? You better repent of it. Or you live in that guilt. You see, you don't have to get mad at me. Because I'm telling you the truth. But I can't take that guilt away from you. Only He can. I'm not eternal. I make mistakes. I mispronounce words. I do crazy stuff sometimes, not on purpose. But I do, and so do you. I found out no matter how intelligent you aren't the best reader in the world. Or the best speller. But you have one in you that is. Or the best anything. Because something else is coming new up. And if you don't keep a hold of it, you're going to be behind the eight ball. Because knowledge is increasing. As we speak right now, it's increasing. But this is what you can do. And I'll leave you with this. I'm still dealing with life and death. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not, see, the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. And I know it's in hyphens. And see, and if you're with a Greek and a Hebrew scholar, they're going to question it. In fact, some are so rigid that they won't even accept that. Be careful how rigid you are in your language, because it's being expounded and expanded every second of the day. It is. Let it be. You begin to bring in. We always like new words, and when I say something, usually my pronunciation sometimes will get three words in one. I have a talent for that. I have my own language. Used to bug Jim all the pieces, but you see, he paid a lot of attention. He said, I think you just said two words in one. Yeah, compound word. You know, ever heard of compound? Listen, I love all of your particularness. It doesn't bother me. I love it. I need it. See? But then you need to understand what I'm saying, because I just made up a new word. Hey, they do it every day. New words are coming to you every day. Every day. And if you don't know what the word means, you don't know the language. So we got this little Webster's dictionary, and I don't know if I can keep up with the words, but and when we don't know, then we go to the Webster's dictionary if we're not familiar with the word. So it's good for you, and I'm going to have to quit for this morning, but it's good for you to add to your knowledge too. It's good for you to read above your vocabulary, above your intelligence. You hear me? And in it, it's going to add to your vocabulary. It's going to add to your intelligence. It's good for you to do that. What's happening is you're expanding your influence. Because this one thing I know, God gives gifts unto men. And He's given everybody here particular and wonderful and personal gifts. And if you won't be satisfied with where you are, if you'll realize that there are stuff already out here that you know that you don't even know you know. You don't even know how to say the words. You don't even know how to express it. It may be out here already. And as you continue to expand your intelligence through reading different, and you need to read. Reading more intelligence. Reading higher levels of words and vocabulary. I'm going to tell you something. He's given us all things, but we'll never have them if we don't take them. You won't have them if you don't take them. My desire this morning is, and I may go one more week on this, because I still want to give you the security. How many like security? How many want a retirement when you get old? Okay. How would you like to have more than enough? If you would have asked me, when I was some of your kids' age, I said I wouldn't have a clue how that's going to happen. Because at that time, it wasn't in front of me. It wasn't even obtainable. You happen to be living in an age where the automobile industry from about 1960, not even 60, 1970 on, give you a retirement to look at. Up until then, they didn't have it. Just a few here and there, woolen mills and stuff like that, and they all went bankrupt. I can go. I'm a history nut. I can tell you all that's happened economically in my lifetime. It's crazy. I was going to become a mechanical engineer, and then Japan came along and took all of our jobs after World War II. It wasn't too long. Come on. I guarantee you this. You seek the kingdom of God first, and you'll have a retirement that will have life to it, will have substance to it, and that you will always. You'll walk from need to knowing how to have more than enough. You know why? Because you're worth it. Because you have that substance to give. Hallelujah. That can't even be purchased with money. That's what Paul was saying here. He was just doing his obligations. He was in a transition period. He was transitioning from being a Pharisee, a word man, knew his doctrine well, to a God man. And he didn't take it to himself. I think that's why I'm a little bit broken, because inside of me there is such an appreciation that I have no way to begin to tell you how much I appreciate having the knowledge that he gave us to begin to lay hold of and apprehend. And that's what I guess I got a zeal that you might get a hold of it and go after it like I am. And I guarantee you, some of you are going to have such a touch. There's a sound that's got to come to this age. God uses three things. He uses words. He uses music. And it changes the economic structure, because now people are willing to work. People are willing to bring what God has put within them together and become productive. Hallelujah. In your profession, God will give you the go ahead and not to go. When he says don't do it, even though the opportunity may be great. Hallelujah. Pearl, it's time you put some things, you set some time aside for God to do some things that he told you to do. Danny, God's going to use you like you have never imagined. Now, I know he is now, but this is just the forefront. Hallelujah. I'm working as the prophet right now in the house, because I love you so much. In this little place, there's a tremendous amount of intelligence and responsibility, but blessing. And you guys shall see it come. You watch and see what God's going to do with this choir. You watch and see. It's of excellence. If you got people that you know, you need to invite them out to our Christmas play. I'm going to put a little plug in. Let's get some people here. Talk to some people. Tell them it's going to be a Christmas play. Don't be ashamed of your house of worship. But it's going to shake it up when it starts filling up. But there's not going to fill up if you don't fill it up. Start asking some of your friends to come and see what God is doing in the midst of us. You'll see.